Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, a big week for the golf teams. Also, a huge senior day this past weekend for the tennis team. That went really well. Spring practice continuing for football, but we're going to start with baseball, and we're going to be really baseball heavy on this episode because it was another good week for the Red Wolves. It started Tuesday at number one Arkansas. Red Wolves played really well. Cole Turner was great. He went 4 2/3. He struck out 6. A game that A-State led 2-1 going into the bottom of the fifth. Ended up falling short 7-3. But our guest, who we'll introduce here in just a minute, reached base 4 times in that game. Then the Red Wolves with a big series win this weekend. They took 2 out of 3 from South Alabama. 6-3 victory on Friday. Dropped the Saturday game 3-2, but a comeback victory on Sunday. They won that one 5-2. And here to talk about it, redshirt junior right fielder from Jonesboro, Arkansas. It's our buddy Cross Jumper. How you doing, Cross?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Team sitting out 7-8 in conference play. You're tied for 7th out of 14 teams in the Sun Belt. Obviously, you want to be in the top 10 and go to the conference tournament next month in Montgomery, but it seems like this team's just getting more confident as we go along here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That's kind of our goal and our theme that we established throughout the season, is that we want to be playing our best baseball going into the tournament and to just continue to grow and get better throughout the season, because we got a lot of new going on this year. You know, new coach, a lot of new players, and didn't really have much of a fall with the construction on the field and got cut short a little bit there.
So it's been a little bit of a theme across the sports at A-State this year. Like, we saw volleyball was picked 6th out of 7 teams in their division, and they won the regular season outright. Saw women's basketball was picked 13th out of 14 teams. They finished 2nd, win the tournament. Given all these things just talked about, last year's record and the roster turnover and new coach, like, it probably expected you guys were going to be picked where you were in the preseason. But the thing's been different is that, you know, volleyball, when they were picked down there, they talked about it a lot. You could go by coach's office to see it taped on the wall. Women's basketball, when they were picked down there, they said they talked about it one time. How'd you guys handle, like, the preseason Sun Belt polls when they came out?
I mean, we knew we were going to be dead last. You know, the last year or two hadn't been too great. And so, I mean, we knew going in, and we didn't expect anything else. And we kind of just attacked it as, you know, being the underdog, and it's kind of just showing up like nameless faceless opponent. It doesn't matter who we're playing. They're just there for us to get our work in. And so that's kind of how we've been attacking every series so far.
I want to get back to the team and everything that's going on, but I want to talk about your personal journey for a few minutes. We mentioned you're a Jonesboro kid playing at Arkansas State. So what's that like?
You know, when I was growing up, and I grew up coming to a bunch of Arkansas State games, watch some guys, you know, like Murray Watts.
Murray Watts.
Yep. Honestly, I never thought I would end up here. You know, I went to Tennessee my freshman year and then came back, and you know, I mean, I couldn't be happier here, honestly. I get my family, they get to watch me every game, and it's kind of awesome, you know, playing for my city.
Not just playing for your city, but right? I mean, you got other connections to Arkansas State, kind of up and down your family tree, right?
Mm-hmm. My grandpa played football here, and so that's cool. Getting to be here as well, and both my parents went here, which is special.
Your dad works, you know, on campus.
Yeah, my dad has
a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, not that he was going to be at all the games anyway, but now he's got double the reason to be there.
Yeah, it's kind of it. All the guys see him. You know, he's always running around doing something.
So it's cool to have that connection. But what was it that got you into baseball to begin with?
I think growing up, I had an awesome coach. His name was Todd Rhodes. He kind of laid the foundation for me with baseball, and I kind of always knew that I was going to play for a little bit, and he actually played here as well. And I was always kind of good at it growing up, and I played some other sports, played football in high school, but I always knew baseball was my thing. So,
by the way, he says, I played – he was the freaking quarterback at JHS. He goes, I played some football too. It wasn't like you're just messing around. You were the quarterback, for Pete's sake.
I could play some football too. Don't get me wrong.
You could play some football.
Yep.
Spin this thing forward one of these days when you're a parent and you got a kid coming up. Will you now encourage your kid to play every sport they want to because of your experience?
Absolutely. I think playing whatever sport that I felt like seasonally kind of helped me as an athlete, helped me figure it out on my own, what I was good at. And so, yeah, if I have a son who wants to play all the sports, by all means.
You mentioned you were a football player, played quarterback at JHS, and your senior year, you had a setback, broke your tibia. Mm-hmm. So talk about how that affected you. I mean, when a major injury like that occurs, I'm sure everything's going through your mind, especially when it comes to going to college.
Mm-hmm. I think it ended up being more of a setback than I thought at the time. I remember going down and Dr. Gwynn was there on the field. It was the first or second game of the season, and I could see it visually that it was broken. I was like, God, just tell me I'll be good by baseball season. And he said, you'll be good, about a three-month recovery. And so I was good by 3 months, was able to get back for the baseball season, but I really wasn't good for, you know, probably ended up being 4 or 5 months. And it did. It taught me some things that I've never really had to deal with. I've never had a setback like that, and it definitely took a little bit to gain some confidence back and just kind of figure all that stuff out.
I don't blame you for wanting to hurt and get back. I mean, obviously you wanted to be back for baseball season anyway because you wanted to play, but you were also loaded. I mean, that was a team you wanted to hurry up and get back to.
Yeah, special team, special team. We ended up losing in the state championship, and we had probably, I think we had 5 guys end up going to play college ball from there.
But here's the deal. Like, his senior Jonesboro High School baseball team, they fell victim to the finals being a week after the rest of the tournament. Because if you just play that tournament straight through, you know, nobody can touch them because they had so much pitching depth that the person they could have rolled out there for the finals would have rolled through whoever they had. But when they wait a week, now all of a sudden you get to reset. So you know you get to the finals. You kind of negated your pitching depth. You knew you were going to face somebody's ace in the state championship game.
Yeah, and I mean, we played Van Buren, and they came out throwing punches, and got to give them credit where it's due. And they played a good game.
You did mention, and I don't want to just completely skip over it, because you did start your college career at Tennessee, and you were there for a semester, right?
Yes, sir.
It's not like you went there and were sitting there for a season and not playing and decided to transfer then. What was the biggest reason you wanted to come back here?
So as I mentioned, yeah, I got injured my senior year. I had a bunch of stuff going for me. And so I get into my freshman year, and I'm completely healed by this time. But I get there, and it was a culture shock, if I'm being honest. I don't think I was ready mentally. There was a bunch of talented players there, obviously. It was awesome. I had a great time, but I wasn't right mentally. I wasn't ready physically either. I went through a lot of failure and struggles, and I didn't really know how to deal with them at the time. And I was going to go to junior college out of there. I thought about that route for a little bit, but I talked to, you know, Coach Raffo at the time and thought it'd be a good place for me to come here.
One thing I want to ask you before we turn the page is that you're one of these kids that we've seen come through that, I mean, probably committed in ninth grade. Mm-hmm. Since you've done that, like, the rules have changed. Mm-hmm. And I'm not telling you that those ninth graders don't get recruited or they don't know who's after them, because they do. But officially now, you're not supposed to be able to offer a guy until, I think, his junior year.
Right.
Is that a good rule change?
I think it is. I think it'll save a lot of kids from making the same mistake I did. I think I was as talented as they come when I was in ninth grade. And maybe I've skipped over some things. Not that I didn't work hard throughout those 4 years I was committed there, but I never had to fail and learn from anything. And then when I did, I didn't know how to deal with it. Obviously, ninth grade is what, 14, 15
years old? Yeah, you're asking a 14-year-old kid to commit where they're going to go.
And there's a lot of things that go into the game that you just can't process at that age.
I think it's fair to a kid that age to have that sort of weight, that expectation on them. Did you feel that kind of weight early on?
I did a little bit. But then again, there's a lot of kids that don't have those same issues. There's plenty of kids before all these rules that had no problem going in there and competing. They didn't really have those issues. But I mean, obviously, I mean, I was one of them that did, and I'm sure there's plenty of others, and that's why I think they ended up making those rules.
But not even the issues, to Matt's point, not even the issues you're talking about you dealt with and you got there. But again, you're going to play as a 14 or 15-year-old, you're going to play your freshman high school baseball season, and every day, every game, every at-bat be, you may not even have a name. You're the kid going to Tennessee.
No, yeah.
That's a lot to carry around.
I was committed before I even played an inning of high school baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how, I mean, that seems like a lot to lug around.
When I was playing in high school, it never bothered me then, because I was still having success, and I kind of liked that attention. Like, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
But I think the repercussions start to come into play when you get into college, because there is some kids, you know, that might have not worked as hard once they committed and got surpassed, because there's a lot of growing and mentally and physically between that age to when you get to college.
So you get to Arkansas State, and as a redshirt freshman, you played a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the lineup pretty much every day. You hit 276. One thing looking back on your redshirt freshman season was your first career home run was a grand slam.
It was.
I remember that.
I do too. It was on Mother's Day. My mom's birthday is as well, so I remember that one pretty clearly.
All right, so your mom's birthday was on Mother's Day
this
year. Able to hit the grand slam for. So you had to feel good after that redshirt freshman season.
Mm-hmm.
You go into last year, though, and I know it had to be frustrating for you because things just never got going offensively. Looking back, what were the biggest issues a year ago, and how were you able to kind of use that to fuel you going into this past offseason?
Absolutely. Like you just said there, I think last year made me everything that I am today because I allowed it to be. Yeah, I struggled a ton last year. I was actually doing really well in inter-squads going into the season, thinking I was about to have a monster year. And then
I remember Coach Raffo telling me that. What a great offseason you had.
Oh, yeah. I was doing great. And then the season starts, and I just couldn't quite get going. And then it just kind of spiraled for me. It kind of got back to that same thing of not really knowing how to deal with those failures, thinking that I had things figured out, when in reality, you're never going to have things figured out in this game. It's a constant game of learning and failures that if you don't have that resilience to keep going, then it's just going to defeat you. And that's what I let it do, was defeat me last year. And that's really the moral of the story. It just kind of got to a point where I lost confidence in myself, and it's a tough game to play without confidence. And so, and like I said, I think last year made me everything into what I am this year, for sure.
So you spin it forward, and obviously you said going through that helped you. How much, though, did the role of you go through the coaching change, and if nothing else, you get four new sets of eyes on you every day? I mean, what role did kind of those new eyes come in? Did they see something that kind of helped that process, help you turn the page from 2024?
They played a tremendous role in my development so far. I've kind of known it was in there, and I could go on and on about the things that Coach Silva has helped me with mentally and physically. And mentally was definitely the main thing. It's just showing up and you know, attacking each day with knowing that you're going to fail at some point, and knowing that when you fail, the only option you have is to just keep going. And eventually, once you start to show up and have a process-driven mindset and focus on the process instead of your results, you start to gain this thing called confidence. And it's powerful, and it makes the game fun. That's really all it's about, is just being able to have fun and play for your teammates and help your team win. And once you get to that level, it starts to get fun. And I think that's kind of where we're headed as a team, and we just got to continue to keep that mindset.
I remember sitting down with Coach Silva right before the season started, and we were talking about you, and he said, look, the number one thing I want to do for him is make him feel comfortable and know that you're not playing for a spot in the lineup. You're going to be in the lineup every day. I need you there.
Mm-hmm.
So when he tells you something like that, I'm sure there's a level of comfort that you're given.
Yeah, it definitely gave me – we had similar conversations in the fall. And don't get me wrong, we had plenty of physical adjustments with my swing and stuff like that. It definitely gave me that level of freedom to fail. When you have a coach tell you, I don't care how many times you strike out, I want you being athletic and swinging the bat as hard as you can, like, that gives you a level of freedom to where there's no pressure on you. And, I mean, you're out there in practice playing with your teammates, and when you have that room to do what you want, it gives you some confidence and gives you room to grow.
Go all the way up to the three hole, right? I mean, and now – you know, what's that like, especially over the last handful of games where you've seen, you know, Quiller go to lead off and slide Will down the spot and hit those guys in front of you? What's it been like?
I think it's been pretty interesting and starting to get a little bit of exciting to see everybody start to sink into their roles that we have going on. Q in the leadoff spot is dynamic for us, and he can do multiple things. You know, Will, you know, he's just going to hit no matter what. And that's fun to hit behind those two guys, and it's cool to see how everything's starting to shape up for us.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolf fans, this is DeMario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. Thank you, and Wolves up.
Continuing to visit with Cross Jumper here on the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Yeah, I do want to talk about the team a little bit more because the pitching has been so good. You got an ERA with this pitching staff that's top 20 in the country right now. We see the potential with the offense. I'm sure you guys as a team are thinking, when this offense, the whole offense, gets going, man, we can be pretty dangerous.
Absolutely. I'll touch on the pitching in just 1 second, but I want to just mention, so we've talked about it as a team. Every guy that we have in our lineup, besides probably Will, hasn't done anything in the Sun Belt. So we're all kind of starting to figure out what we can do. It's just a bunch of guys just getting more at-bats and more experience. That's kind of how we've been going as an offense. But yes, the pitching has been phenomenal, and it's super fun to play behind when you go out there and guys are just constantly filling up the strike zone. It gives us confidence going into the dugout, knowing that they're going to have our back. It's nice to have them have our back for the most part because they've been great all year.
That's the best part, right? Yeah. I mean, they're throwing strikes. Mm-hmm. And what are we? I haven't looked at the numbers today, but tops in the Sun Belt, top 15 in the country in walks allowed. Mm-hmm. So you're not up there watching our pitchers walk a bunch of guys.
Right, yeah.
You know it's going to be a quick pace. There's going to be a lot of action. And even on Sunday, you got a true freshman out there in Jack Hibbard, mm-hmm, who is just filling up the strike zone and letting his guys work behind him.
Yeah, they've been doing a great job just kind of knowing their role, what they need to do to be successful when they get put in the game. Because we've got a bunch of guys that we can kind of, you know, mix and match with. We don't just have one or two leverage guys out of the bullpen. We have multiple that we can pick from. And that's tough on other teams as it starts to shape up because they got to be prepared for multiple guys. And, yeah, that's the most important thing is that we'd rather get hit around the yard than to walk guys because that gives us a chance. And we're pretty confident in our defense to make plays behind them. And it just keeps us on our toes. And it's good to have that quick pace for morale going back into the dugout and trying to get things going offensively.
Is there any one moment you can look at that boosted you guys' confidence as a group? I mean, because there'd be several things. I mean, even as recently as the Coastal Carolina trip, being in every game, you know, they only gave up 6 earned runs all weekend, getting the mm-hmm Sunday game, the way he played at Arkansas. But it can be before that. Can you look at something and said, hey, this is where I feel like we kind of turned a corner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's probably two that I can think of. We started off kind of slow first few weeks, or first probably week or two. And then once we started, we got to UAPB and took care of business that weekend. And then after that, I was like, okay, like we're starting to get going a little bit. And then we started to kind of take a couple steps forward, and then we would take one back for a good few weeks there. And then recently, pretty much since Coastal on Friday night, I think we took a huge step forward in consistency, just the way we've played the game. We've been playing with a good vibe in the dugout. And when we get behind, there's no panic. It's just kind of keep playing. And we only took one from Coastal, but even the games that we lost, they were both close.
Right there.
Competitive at-bats all game. And obviously, our pitching was phenomenal all weekend at Coastal. And then we head into Fayetteville on Tuesday. There's good vibes going into the game. And we kind of know that if we play good, we're in every game. That's kind of our mindset going in. We just need to play good, and we have a chance because we know our pitching is going to give us a chance. and we just need to execute the offense. And then there's not many teams that we don't feel like we can compete with.
I know you said we only got one at Coastal, but yeah, I look at that a different way, because had you not gotten the Sunday game, it felt like it could have been really disheartening to go say, man, we played good 3 days in a row and got nothing to show for it. So right. To get out of there with Sunday felt really, really big.
It did. It felt good because we flew straight from Coastal to Fayetteville, stayed there Sunday night, and then stayed there Monday night going into Tuesday. And getting that win on Sunday definitely, you know, gave us that energy and that good energy going into Fayetteville. And that was good, taking one from them for sure.
And I thought even this last win was huge, mm-hmm. because that was a big series against South mm-hmm. Alabama, especially as you're trying to fight for position in the standings. They were only a game behind mm-hmm. you, and now you're two games up on them. But it's two outs, bases clear in the bottom of the seventh inning, and six guys in a row are able to reach base. You had a mm-hmm. bases loaded walk during that stretch, but you're able to take the lead. And it was the first time that this team has won after trailing after six innings mm-hmm. this year. So felt like that was big for you guys to be able to come back and win a game.
Definitely a huge step in the right direction for us. Friday, yeah, we played good, took a early lead, and was able, and our pitching staff did a phenomenal job keeping us that lead and slamming the door. And then Saturday, it was a tough loss. They had one big hit, you know, that kind of gave them that three runs, and then we couldn't really get anything going offensively. And then we go into Sunday, and we come out. I mean, we swung the bat well all day, but we just couldn't buy a hit or whatever. But we just stuck with the plan and kept executing our offense, and that's really all we can control. And then we just continued that same approach going into that seventh inning, and they finally started to fall for us. And it's huge to see that we can string those together for that many with two outs, because that just shows how many guys are bought in, picking our pitching staff up for once too. Because we knew once we got that lead that
yeah, Richter,
that it was
yeah.
wraps there with yeah. Richter.
And Cole Turner came
Cole Turner,
in.
Yeah. He was great. Who was phenomenal. And then
Garrison got the last out.
Came in, and yeah, he's been throwing his best baseball lately.
So there's probably wanting to win, which everybody does. There's thinking you can win, and there's expecting to win. Mm-hmm. Where would you put you guys right now?
Right now, we're expecting to win every game when we go in. That was kind of the biggest thing that we've been trying to change over the season, because, you know, in the past, we haven't expected to win. We come into this year, and that's the mind shift that we've been trying to get to, and we've been trying to get to where we can go in and expect to win those close games, and I feel like we're starting to get into that direction.
I do want to ask you about the guys that have come back this year, the ones you've played beside the last few years who have been through it all with you, and mm-hmm. in particular with Will French and Daedric Kale and Kaysen Tollett. I imagine there's a pretty close bond with guys
absolutely.
Being here the last few years, all Arkansas guys.
Yeah, Jake Henry Williams.
And Jake Henry Williams.
Throw Kaysen Campbell in there, even though he's a year younger.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What is that connection like with you guys?
It's awesome to see a bunch of guys put their head down and want to change the face of Arkansas State baseball. Because, you know, we've seen the bad, and there's nothing more that we want to see than to leave our mark to head this program in the right direction. And, you know, being local guys, that's all we really want for this squad, is to leave it better than we found it. So I think we're on the right track.
I mean, it's really neat because, I mean, all those names you just mentioned, I mean, with Will and you and Tollett and Kaysen Campbell, Jake Henry Williams, and now Patrick Ingskov. So, I mean, in the batting order, most days, there's going to be six guys from Arkansas. That's really cool. Mm-hmm.
And it seems like those guys that came in with Coach Silva have really mixed in well mm-hmm. with you guys. Caden Amundson just seems like a natural leader back
absolutely,
there behind
yeah.
the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Good guys, too.
Yeah.
And Drake Anderson, who's been really valuable for you. And Brad mentioned Patty. I mean, mm-hmm. these guys just seem like they're good dudes and they really mix in well.
Right. Yeah. Like I said before, you know, we kind of got cut short in the fall, you know, trying to, you know, go from place to practice. And don't get me wrong, we all bonded and gelled then. But as we're going through the season and facing the adversity, we've all grown tremendously and become really fond of each other. Because there's nothing more important than knowing your teammates have your back. And I think that's really the most important thing that we can do, is continue to grow closer and play for each other, because that's when it starts to become fun, when you're playing for each other.
Then we mentioned Quiller as a leadoff batter, but he plays beside you in center field. And both you guys can fly. And we've talked about Quiller before. But he plays center field like he's out there by himself. I mean, yeah, he can track down every ball.
He's a freak out there. And he's going to be really special to watch over the next few years. He's super strong kid, 19 years old. And he actually deadlifted 700 pounds in the fall. Something ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah. Kid is strong. And he's so driven and... He's going to have a great career under Coach Silva. There's a reason that we have him out there. And, I mean, he can cover ground like nobody's business.
Look, you're kind of a – I mean, in my opinion, you won't say it. You're a five-tool guy, like, right? I mean, you look the part, and you've got some pop, and you've got wheels. Also a cannon. So, like – but I want to make you pick one of those tools and say, which one's the best of yours?
I would say probably my arm, if I'm being honest. I think that's kind of the separator for me.
I also noticed, I mean, honestly, and I even mentioned this in our broadcast, like there was a time in a pretty key spot that ball got hit down in the corner. Coach LeBounty's coaching third, and he did not send the guy on Sunday.
LeBounty knows.
He knows
better. Yeah.
I noticed that too.
Yeah, yeah.
What's next for you? Obviously, you've got plenty of baseball left here, but what's after Arkansas State? You're an agribusiness major, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right, so is that something you want to go into?
I graduate this year, and I've got another year of eligibility after this, and I'm probably going to get my master's in business admin. But, you know, I'm not really worried about all that. I'm going to play until somebody makes me stop, which, I don't know, I hope it's not anytime soon.
So this is one moment, the last thing I really have for you, because you talked about that JHS team and your teammates and how many guys played. There was a moment, I can't remember, last year or 2 years ago, playing Little Rock here. Jake Henry's pitching, Ty Rhodes is batting, and he flies out to you. Now, for me as an old guy, like, that was cool instantly. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I remember saying, if he flies out to cross jumper right here, I'm leaving. Three Jonesboro High School guys, and then the very next pitch, he flies out to you. Mm-hmm. How long take you to realize that just happened, or is that something that when you get old like me, you'll look back and think was cool?
I thought it was cool in the moment, especially because Jake Henry had just started pitching, which is hilarious because he wasn't a pitcher and he kind of made himself one, which is awesome. But I think it's definitely something we'll look back on and enjoy because we all three stay in touch. I talk to Ty multiple times a week, and I talk to his dad all the time, Todd Rhodes. So, yeah, we'll look back on that and think it's pretty cool.
15 games left in the regular season, or at least 15 conference games remaining. Just seems like it's getting fun. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, outside of going to the conference tournament and making noise there, what's the biggest thing you're trying to accomplish from here on out?
I'm trying to get the most out of myself, I'm trying to see what I can become and see where we can end up as a team and continue to grow as a team day to day and just kind of live in the moment and not let past affect us and not let the future determine what we do and kind of just enjoy it because, you know, I'm getting older, which is weird, but...
It is weird.
It is weird. I've always felt like I was a young guy on the team, but I'm not anymore. So that's really all I'm focused on right now is helping my team win.
Well, it's a whole lot of fun watching you right now and your teammates, and great to have you in today.
Yes, sir. Y'all having me on.
That's Cross Jumper joining us here on the Second to None podcast. We've got more to come right after this.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea. Customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact, spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com.
We talked a lot about the baseball weekend, but it wasn't like you and I talking about the baseball weekend. So a couple things to touch on about that before we turn the page. Number one, that was a fun series.
Oh, yeah.
Competitive series, runs at a premium, two staffs pitching it well. And it was interesting that going into Sunday, the team with the most hits was 0-2.
Yeah, you brought that up to me before the game Sunday.
We won the first game, you know, by a final of 6-3 and had one hit after the third inning. South Alabama won Saturday 3-2. They had one hit after the second inning.
Yeah, you don't see that very often.
And the other thing is that, boy, those coaching staffs came out with real-life teaching moments to talk about the high price tag you can pay for free base runners, because it was a theme in the weekend. Like, you know, when Ingskov hit the Grand Slam Friday night, two of the guys on was an HBP and a walk. Mm-hmm. When they got all three of their runs Saturday to win 3-2, all three guys walked. And so, like, I mean, these coaches now, they don't have to look very far to say, see, free bases will kill you, because they were a huge factor in this series.
And I know we brought it up with Cross, but I thought that Sunday game was just huge.
Yep.
And when we look back on this season, if this team does make the conference tournament, and they're certainly trending in the right direction right now, I think we're going to look back on that game, because yeah, it was critical for them to win that series. Now they're two games up on South Alabama. They've got the head-to-head against them as well. Just coming from behind to do it was huge, and we got some clutch hits in that game. All five runs scored with two outs, and the pitching was good all day long. And one thing that I thought really stood out from my conversation with Mike Silva after the game was – he said, look, Jack Hibbard's done some great things this year, but he was as impressed with that performance.
It was his best start.
Because, in his words, he said he had nothing.
Right.
And he was able to grind through those five innings, giving up just one run.
Yeah, I was going to – if you didn't bring that up, I was going to. Because I've told you, like – and listen to me, folks. To me, like, the Mike Silva postgame interview is destination radio.
He's great.
I mean, win or lose, you're going to get – really good information every day. You're going to get exactly what he was thinking in a situation. I mean, I hurry up and get to my truck to make sure I don't miss that. And that's the truth. And so I thought that was big time too. And he's, you know, because here's a guy who's thrown a complete game shutout, two complete games, took a no-hitter into the sixth or whatever at Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
And he said this was his best start. When he was obviously kind of scuffling, he said this was his best start of the year because he had nothing.
And I brought up the point with him. I thought it was huge. There was a four-inning stretch where we had an out on the bases every single inning. Had a couple of runners caught stealing. We had one picked off between third and home. And then we had a pickoff at first. So that was huge defensively as well. So just all three phases.
You know what? I mean, Chase Richter didn't have his best stuff either Sunday.
Well, he had thrown 40 pitches Friday.
And he fought through it, same thing. And then, you know, Cole Turner was good, gave up a couple of base runners trying to get that last out. And you go to Cooper Garrison, who threw 32 pitches the night before.
Yeah.
And he comes out and gets the last out. So, really, I'm with you, too. Like, depending on what this season shakes out like, the second half of conference play, which can be really, really tough. But Sunday's a day you can look back to. It could be a very, very big one.
Big series this weekend. Be in Statesboro taking on Georgia Southern. First pitch Thursday at 5:30, Friday at 5:30, and then Saturday at 1. Looking forward to seeing my buddy Danny Reed this weekend. And that's a great park.
Danny Reed skipped a baseball weekend a couple weeks ago to go call a Sweet 16 and Elite Eight in the NCAA Women's Tournament.
Was really proud of him for getting that opportunity, too. So repping us Sunbelt broadcasters very well. Track and field, want to mention what they did. They were at the Crimson Tide Invitational in Tuscaloosa. Lots of personal best, but Carly Pujol, we talk about her every week. She won the women's pole vault. Fourth win in the last five meets for Carly. We're going to have her in. She keeps doing this stuff. The track team going to be in California this weekend at the Mount SAC Relays and the Brian Clay Invitational. I did want to mention football, too, because spring practice is continuing this week, and you and I got to visit during our broadcast on Sunday with Coach Jones. He was up there, and he was there early on, and I'll tell you, he stayed right behind me. He watched the rest of the game all the way through and was cheering. And
but it's like he worked his way up and down the thing. Like he'd come stand behind us a little bit there toward the later innings. He'd see the replay monitor, and he'd go down, and he'd kind of talk to my GA, Kayla Jones, who was running the music. It's like he just worked his way up and down the line, kind of seeing what everybody in that press box does during a baseball game.
I also had Corey Rucker and Jaquez Cross on my broadcast, and got to talk with them a little bit. They were into the game, and turned out Jaquez, he was a former middle infielder. He played baseball till he was 15, 16 years old, and he said he also played center field. I said, man, I would have liked to have seen you cover some ground in center field.
I believe it. So, yeah, you, Coach Jones did a name with you, came over, did one with me on TV. Like, I've already decided, like, and I want to put it out here so everybody, you're like my accountability partners. When next year's baseball schedule comes out, first thing we do is I will send it over to Coach Jones and say, pick one of these early midweeks that you just will come be the TV color analyst. And it's not where we won't sit around and talk football, which, you know, we had to do, you know, Sunday we were doing, talking about pack day and all that. But just, no, you come pick a day where you're going to come and you're going to be the color analyst on the TV broadcast, because that's really what he wanted to do. Like, I kept shifting it to football because he kept wanting to talk about baseball.
Oh, yeah. We talked plenty of both.
Yeah.
While he was over on the radio side. But it's always fun when he gets up there, and fun to talk with him. He said, hey, got to get back in on the podcast after spring practice, because he wants to talk about everything that's going on. So a lot of good stuff. Golf teams, hey, important week for them. First off, the women's golf team, they had played in that Brickyard Collegiate last week in Macon, Georgia. They finished 5th out of 10. And right now they're competing this week at the Sunbelt Championships down in Point Clear, Alabama. The men's golf team, need to mention what they're doing, because they're competing at the A-State Spring Invitational at Ridgepoint. This is a new thing.
Yeah.
Usually they play the Bubba Barnett. That's in the fall, and they're still doing that, but playing that tournament this week at Ridgepoint, and this is the final tune-up before the Sunbelt Championships, which begin next Monday in Madison, Mississippi.
So with the men, as you mentioned, first time they played a spring tournament at home. As we record this, they've just shifted to the second round out there on a Monday. They had a 10-stroke lead after round one, which is probably not that surprising. Maybe the biggest thing that's surprising at this point is that they'll find that many teams that'll come play in a tournament with them at Ridgepoint, because my goodness, they make a bunch of birdies out there.
How about the tennis team? They had their senior day this past Saturday. They swept Southern Miss in that match 5-0. This is really cool. They're now 12-9 on the season, and the 12 wins are the most for A-State tennis since 2009. So you got to go back 16 years. Last time they had 12 wins. They're 5-5 in conference play now, and they're going to finish up the regular season this Saturday at South Alabama.
You know, and this is the same thing, too, where last year, you know, everybody made it to the conference tournament, but they don't this year. They're also just taking 10 in the tennis tournament. And so they've qualified. They've earned their spot in that field already. And, you know, we talk, it seems like, every week about what Coach Lama has done. He basically came in last year with somebody else's roster and won more matches than they'd won since 2012. And now he's beat that number, and you got to go all the way back to 2009 since they've won this many matches. It was fun out there Saturday, big crowd watching them. I'm not kidding you. They started at 10, and at 10:30, we had wrapped up the doubles point.
Yeah.
It was like, whoom. I mean, just like, we just like, it was 6-2, 6-2 over here. And just, well, the doubles point's over. Let's recognize the senior and move on to singles. I was like, wow, that was fast.
Do you want to mention the soccer team? And usually we don't talk about them much during the spring, but they do play a spring schedule where they get some matches in. And they're going to conclude their spring schedule coming up on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock,
yeah,
under the lights at Centennial Bank Stadium against Harding. And this is the second straight year they've done this night game.
So last year it was out of necessity. They really pulled this off in just over 24 hours, deciding to play in the stadium because they needed to get one more match in. The players liked it so much that they then set out the entire time to turn around and play in the stadium again. And the dimensions are a little bit different, between a football and a soccer field, but they don't care. Like, our players so enjoyed playing at Centennial Bank Stadium that
I bet
that they definitely want to do it again. And I know Coach Dooley gives Harding a lot of credit for being willing to come up and do that too. So, yeah, a chance to come to the vault Wednesday night and watch some football.
Free admission. Concessions will be available. So plenty of reason to come on.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool, and I will look forward to catching some of this myself. I've seen us play rugby in the stadium, but I didn't get to see us play soccer in it last year, so I'm looking forward to seeing soccer there on Allison Field.
All right, what else do we need to talk about before we get out of here?
Well, we'll get here next week. Hopefully, we'll have a lot more details about Pack Day, but that's the 26th. Football's got their NIL golf tournament on Friday the 25th. During that afternoon, then, baseball series, the next home baseball series starts that night. And then Saturday, that all weekend's also next weekend's the home track meet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're going to, food trucks and a kid zone outside the stadium. Textbook Brokers is going to have their big spring tent sale outside the team store and inside the team store leading up to it. Gate's going to open at noon. We've got some more kid zone stuff inside the stadium. Some autograph signings on the concourse we'll tell you about next week. Some photo ops with some championship trophies that have been collected over this last year. And then it'd be interesting to see, still kind of hammering out the format of what the game actually looks like. But it'll be a fun full day capped off by another home baseball game at 6 next Saturday night.
Always appreciate you listening. I know my mom always listens in Texas, and this podcast comes out on her birthday. So happy birthday, Mom.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Davey Stinchcomb as well for setting up that interview with Cross Jumper. Thanks to Cross for coming in. A lot of fun visiting with him. And you can tell he's genuinely excited about this team and kind of where it's going right now.
Probably, and I would put myself, I'm glad we got a chance to mention too, this is the kind of stuff I like, that he's a third generation, A-State guy. Granddad played football here, so a lot of A-State heritage for him, and glad he's doing the things he's doing for our team.
We hope you join us again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Kavanaugh Auto Group.